Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Gangbusters week, stuff flying everywhere, and of course, the entire media establishment, with almost no exceptions, is focused on the Mueller report and the Barr four-page letter and yada yada yada. And you know what? It is exactly what I told you last week. This is going to go back and forth. It's going to be kind of fun and amusing to watch. But the bottom line is, this is over. It's done. And the more the Democrats overplay their hand, the more votes they're going to lose in 2020, and the more Trump will get. It's really that simple. And it is also ever more apparent, just by watching the interviews by Comey and Brennan and the silences from, I mean, total silences from Hillary and Obama and Lynch and that whole kind of upper level, that upper Chiron, if you will, of the corrupt Democratic communists. This drumbeat by the Democrats over whether Barr, you know, stated it fairly. And then yesterday there was this big uproar because there was a leak from an associate of one of the people on the Mueller team that they were unhappy with Barr's report because it didn't accurately summarize Mueller's report. And, you know, a triple anonymous source. Look, as a trained journalist, I can tell you that's a no-no, okay? It's bad enough to go with an anonymous source, but to go on what is hearsay from a third party to a third party to a fourth party is outrageous. But the whole thing is to try and cover their tracks. This is all distraction because they know that the walls are closing in on the 24, that's right, 24 DOJ officials and the 17 FBI officials who acted in a traitorous, treasonous, and felonious way through this whole attempted coup, through this derailing of America and the subordination of American interests, the subordination of the American electorate, and the subordination of any decency and respect to conservatives and Trump supporters and to the rule of law and the Constitution. These guys are going down, and they're kind of getting it. Comey was trying to be real contrite on some interview, I think it was Thursday. Well, you know, I'm sure Barr was good. I mean, really? I mean, these guys don't even have the guts to stick with the story. Absolutely pathetic. Wretching. It makes you wretch just watching them snivel and snovel and throw each other under the bus. I mean, slime of the planet. They are all slime of the planet. And a disgrace to this country. And an enemy of its people. Just as the press that carries their water is. Trump is exactly right. Much of the press, not all, but much, is an enemy of the people. When you have so-called news organizations that supposedly are bringing you facts so that you can decide, and they are instead either overtly or subtly or both twisting those facts, omitting those facts, misrepresenting those facts, making up the quote-unquote facts, they're an enemy of the people. So that is all I'm going to say on the Mueller report, because we have a long ways to go, and I'm not going to waste your time or mine talking about something that is going to be grinding on here for several months while the nooses tighten on the necks of those who are really culpable in this mess. So this morning, however, we have lots to cover. I promised you kind of an expose of who's really behind Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. You're going to hear that. And by the way, This is really important. You need to understand that all these people, including Tlaib and Omar and AOC, they are puppets. I'm going to give you the figure. I'm going to give you the facts tonight. I'm going to name names. I'm going to tell you where their money is coming from, where their talking points come from. It's shocking. There's a video. Please watch it. It's posted right under the audio bar of this radio show on the radio website, on therightsideradio.com. Watch that video. I'm just going to summarize it this morning. Watch that video, and you will understand far more. And, of course, there's funding, and that brings us to our buddy George Soros, who I can't believe this guy has not been investigated for treason and sedition, and he should be. And I can't get into I did a show on Soros and gave you all his background, all his stats, where he was, all the nasty stuff he has done in his life. Just type Soros in the search bar on the website. You can listen to that show. This morning, I'm going to tell you about the 187, that's 187, organizations, or some of them anyway, that this guy funds with $16 billion he gave of his own money to his Open Societies Foundation, which is kind of the conduit for his dark money into all these groups. And let me tell you that the names of some of these groups that I'm going to tell you, and I'm only giving you part of them, will shock you. You will go, no way, because they're everyday names. And you have no idea until this show, because nobody is bothering to tell you, that they are funded by Soros and they are therefore on a alt-left, anti-American tether. I mean, you will be shocked. I guarantee you'll be shocked. And then we're going to have some bullet points of news and international news, which nobody else is covering. I mean, even though it's kind of critical. And we are going to talk just a little bit about immigration. We're going to talk a little bit about just a myriad of bullet points of really kind of shocking news. I mean, really kind of shocking news. And there's some nasty gun control stuff. What else is new? Raising its ugly head in a number of areas around the country, including Pittsburgh. I'm going to give you a brief rundown on that. You should do some research. And what's happening in New Zealand on gun confiscation, because that's the play that they want to run on the stage of America, folks. Okay, I was 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever shows it was. I think it was in my series, which was still being viewed like crazy, or still being listened to like crazy on podcast. But they're coming for your everything, parts 1 through 4. And by the way, have you noticed all the talk in the news now, and all the 2020 presidential Democratic communist candidates saying that they're for reparations? I'm going to give you a little background on that. I was the first one, I mean, like by years, to tell you that this was coming. And I got all sorts of emails. Oh, you're full of, this is the United States, it can't happen here. You know, the most dangerous words you can tell yourself is, it can't happen here. It can happen here. And whether or not it happens here is up to you and me. Because you sure as hell can't trust your government to protect your rights. I asked a rhetorical question, and I've asked it several times over the past 6 months. Have you given thought to what would happen if you, or a neighbor, or somebody in your, call it defense group, survival group, whatever group you've put together, and I hope you have, I hope you have gotten together with like minds and talked about what you would do in this situation or the other. You know, the one for all, the all for one, the NATO concept. An attack on one is an attack on all. Let me tell you that the type of totalitarianism, and that's what it is, that the Democratic communists are advocating now, I mean, stomping on the First Amendment. There was pressure by the Democratic Congress on the hierarchy of Fox News to change their program format. They told them to go stick it. But the fact that they tried to exert pressure. The fact that they've tried to kick large conservative hosts off air because they, unlike me, need advertising dollars. The whole thing about getting triggered by MAGA hats. You know, wearing a MAGA hat, which, by the way, if I was going to San Francisco or L.A., that's the first thing I'd put in my bag because I'd wear it every day. You know, bring it, folks, bring it. But wearing a MAGA hat is an expression. It's speech. It is protected by the First Amendment. I'm using that just as an example. These people really are after your everything, folks. Do not mistake it. Do not think it can't happen here. And picking us off one by one, as they're doing in New Zealand right now, I'm going to tell you about that. Even though there's somewhere between 60 and 100 million of us, you know, the deplorables, the bubbas, the folks that won't go quietly into the night and have the means to make sure they don't go quietly into the night. I don't know how you go to however many households that is, 40 million, 50 million households, on a one-by-one basis, but I guess anything is possible. They could do it in quadrants, they could do it in regions, they could do it by town, by town, by town, because that's what progressives do, right? The nudge factor, Cass Sunstein, Obama's regulatory czar, you nudge. That was the name of his book back in the early 2000s. You just move it along a little bit at a time. You know, it's the old theory of if you turn the heat up slowly on the lobster, it doesn't know until it's cooked. So have you thought about it, folks? Have you thought about what happens if there's a knock at your door and they say, hand over your weapons? Have you thought about it, given the current dialogue? I mean, this isn't conspiracy stuff. It's not paranoia. Just turn on any station or any radio station. Have you thought about what happens if they come to your door and say, you know, we want X, Y, and Z, or you get a certified letter saying, your 20 acres in the north pasture has to be given to the government so it can be redistributed. Have you thought about it? Think about it. Think about it. And in the meantime, support conservative candidates, send money, write letters, raise hell, and make damn sure that you vote and everybody you know votes and everybody they know votes in 2020. So, anyway, I'm posing that rhetorical question again. Think about it. Think about it. And of course, I have my story, my little historical story for you this morning. And I think we'll start off with that because the rest of this stuff, we got lots to do. And this is kind of a fun story, and it ties right in with the fact, of course, that I'm an author. And by the way, all you folks have been bugging me for the next three, but by the way, I appreciate the bugging. It's extreme flattery. And I appreciate your patience. Who've been bugging me about the next three books in the Threads West series. If you are on the Threads West Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/ThreadsWest, you know, if you have liked that page, if you haven't, please do. Or if you are, or if you are signed up on the Threads West website, www.threadswestseries.com, you will, as of this Sunday or Monday, start receiving information on the upcoming releases of books 4, 5, and 6. Woohoo! I can't tell you how excited I am. And it'll save me from getting lynched and pitchforked by my avid fans, which is a good thing. Let's get into our story. So, this is March 23rd, 1867, right here in the good old USA. And that was the day that a man invented something that would change the course of history, really. And certainly, certainly, the course of communications history on the entire planet. Never mind here in the United States. The man's name was Christopher Latham Sholes. That's S-H-O-L-E-S. And the device that he invented and was perfecting was called the typewriter. The typewriter. And he developed it, you'll like this, right? This is 150 years ago. He developed it for the women's market as a quote, stepping stone for women into business, unquote. Pretty cool, huh? And you thought Me Too was just now, right? And look, the typewriter, folks, as you well know, or as you should know, I mean, it was the father of all the communication devices that we have now. Laptops and PCs and phones and texts. Think about it. That keyboard we use is the typewriter keyboard that was developed along with the invention of the typewriter by this guy Scholes. But it's really interesting. Have you ever thought, you know, you look at your keyboard and go, good Lord, how did somebody come up with this arrangement of letters, symbols, punctuation, etc.? Because it really is haphazard, right? There's no rhyme or reason to the keys on a keyboard. And keyboards are virtually identical, no matter what the communication medium. And it's a pretty fascinating story. So, anyway, he's perfecting the typewriter. And he found, and he hired people to kind of be practice typers, okay? His typist guinea pigs. He wanted to see how different people with different shaped hands and women and men and all sorts of stuff could do on his keyboard and his typewriter. And he found that with just a little bit of repetition, they began to type so fast because the keyboard was arranged alphabetically. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I mean, you know, like, makes sense. But they began to type so fast that the keys would jam. You know, keys were returning to the tray while the other key for the next letter was already coming up, and they'd jam. And it was, I mean, it just didn't work. And he began to realize that the speed of the typing, because of the arrangement of the keyboard, or was because of the arrangement of the keyboard, it was too easy to learn in repetition, and too easy and too fast to move your fingers from key to key as you were typing. So he began to experiment with different configurations of the keyboard, not physical configurations, but configurations of the letters, of the key letters. And he slowed his typist down, and he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going, until finally he developed the keyboard you see today, which makes no sense at all. And as you well know, you have to move a finger, sometimes across the keyboard, to get a letter. Well, that was the genius of Mr. Scholes. He slowed down the typists so that his keys could return to the tray and not jam, one going up and one going down. You know, I love these little historical. I mean, they're just great, right? Everyday stuff that has this whole rich kind of history and evolution behind it that is almost never talked about and most folks don't know. There's a sad ending to this story, by the way. And bottom line is, he didn't have the money to really get it going. The problems with the keys jamming together, because it had taken him so long to recognize what the problem was and develop a keyboard sequence that would slow typing enough where he did not have the mechanical problem, depleted all his funds. And he sold it to a company by the name of Remington. And as we are all aware, Remington took the typewriter and hit a grand slam with it. Mass production, you name it. The Remington typewriter. Look it up. It was the mainstay of reporters and cops and who knows who until almost the late 1800s and the early 1900s, at which time a bunch of other firms began to get into the typewriter fray, so to speak. But that is... that keyboard that you use today and its weird letter configuration, that's how it came about. So every time you stumble on the keys and forget where your fingers are placed and all that kind of stuff, now you know why. It made me feel better. Okay. Two airports, San Antonio, which is a leftist, in fact, a sanctuary city, and Buffalo, New York. Two cities have insisted that their airports ban Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, the restaurant, because of its Christian leanings. Now, you don't think that you, listen, think about my little opening this morning. They're coming for your everything. They're trampling your rights. It is really totalitarianism staring you in the face. Now, when you start denying a very successful franchise, restaurant space in your airport, because you don't like the fact that they are a Christian company, you're getting dangerously close to all sorts of things that are anti-Constitution. And I might add, anti-American values. Whether or not Chick-fil-A is going to sue or whatever, I mean, the whole thing, by the way, and it goes back to the Democrats, I've talked about this a million times, the way they're trying to win elections now, never mind illegal immigration and all that stuff, the way they're trying to win elections is to make everybody a victim, and then to separate those victims into classes and groups, and then to stitch together those groups, because they're all victims, you know, they're oppressed, stitch them together into one big oppressed voting constituency. So Chick-fil-A was denied its restaurants, even after the contracts were signed, because purportedly, it is against gay folks. Now, Chick-fil-A, not that anybody cares, has 145,000 employees, and approximately 2% of those 145,000 employees, which is about in ratio with the total gay population in the United States, are gay, including a number of managers and several higher-ups in the organization. So once again, the left has manufactured a lie and used it to trample on constitutional rights. So that's something that you want to kind of keep your eyes on. Now, the other thing, I'm going to talk about this next week. There's now a list out of 145 significant, some of them really huge, corporations in the United States, American corporations headquartered in the United States of America, who used the rights under the Constitution and the gifts of opportunity in this country that the Constitution affords to grow to their behemoth size of today, who are now actively, not passive-aggressive, but actively taking the side of the anti-gun groups. There's banks that will no longer finance gun manufacturers. There are stores that will no longer sell weapons. There are credit card companies, believe it or not, that will not honor charges to certain outfits like the NRA. I mean, I can go down the list. I'm going to be talking about this in detail next week, because it really, in effect, ties into what I'm talking about this morning. There are powerful, hugely wealthy, globalist, and really evil interests behind what's happening with the ascendancy of the alt-left in the Democratic Party. And it is part of their plan. It is a plan. And AOC and Tlaib and Omar, as just three examples, are the puppets of that plan. I can't put it any other way. They are puppets. Wait, listen to that or watch that video on the website and listen carefully to that segment when I get to it. Oh, and then we have, now this will give you an idea of the Democratic Party and what they think of flyover country, of red states, of likely Trump supporters. You know that there is a huge wreck going on in parts of Missouri, Iowa, most of Nebraska, a little bit of Oklahoma, with this flooding. And my heart goes out to my fellow ranchers and all the other people out there. I hope you listeners in those areas, I know I have a bunch, and I know I have a bunch of readers too. I really hope things sort out for you and that they sort out quickly, even though that's not what the weather folks are saying. There's been a million plus calves lost in Nebraska. A million calves. Lord only knows how many mother cows and bulls and other types of livestock, never mind the personal property. I mean, it's just horrendous. And it's going to cost us economically, the country. It's going to cost each of us in our pocketbook. But, you know, that's really minor. These people are in a world of hurt out there. And, you know, one of the things about agriculture is you have to move quickly when you have a wreck. I mean, when the water goes off the fields, you got to be out there in the mud getting things done. Because the longer things sit, the harder they are correct. And in some cases, if they sit too long, if you have contaminated water on a field for too long, if you don't take the remedial steps after that water's off it quickly, that field might not produce for a decade. The Democrats in Congress, in the Senate, to be specific, including each and every one of these Democratic communists that are running for president, God help us, have twice blocked a bill to get aid to Nebraska, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Iowa. Blocked aid. Blocked federal disaster relief. And they've used the pretext that they want more money for Puerto Rico, you know, the hurricanes 2 years ago. So that you know, Puerto Rico has gotten more money. And remember the huge storms that hit Florida and Texas? I mean, just wiped out whole towns. I mean, equally as devastating as what happened in Puerto Rico. The combination of what Florida and Texas got, that they have now employed and rebuilt everything, it's all back working. Double that went to Puerto Rico. Double what went to Florida and Texas. And Puerto Rico, it doesn't have it together at all. Because its government is left-wing, progressive, and corrupt, and incompetent. And what's the Democrats' answer? Oh, let's throw more money at it. What's Trump's answer? They got plenty of money, and when I see it being used wisely, I'll release it. So the Democrats are using as leverage this mythical Puerto Rico needs more money to not get money to Nebraska, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Iowa, where it is desperately needed. And by the way, not just for the people there, but for the sake of the country. This is the breadbasket of America. And they don't care. In their lopsided, anti-American, treasonous minds, any pain they can inflict on areas of the country that voted for Trump is good. And if all Americans, of course, they don't care. They have their congressional cafeteria. But if all Americans have to pay more for food, and there's a decrease in the quality of available food and the transportation of that food, they couldn't care less. This should tell you much about these people. It should tell you almost as much as they being the party who say it's okay to kill baby, who applaud the passage of a bill, applaud, cheer, the passage of a bill which allows infanticide and or abortion literally in the birth canal. That was run by a guy who made deliberate decisions in Syria that resulted in 500,000 Syrians dying and several hundred thousands of Christians being executed or forced into sex slavery. I mean, if it's not clear what little regard the Democrats have for anything, human life, human suffering, human security, fellow Americans, the Constitution, the rule of law, if it is not clear what little disregard they have for any of those things to you by now, well, all I can say is you are deaf, dumb, and blind. Yeah, so anyway, I don't know when this is going to get done, when this disaster relief is going to go. Mitch McConnell, I'm not a huge fan of Mitch McConnell. Quote, this is no time for my colleagues across the aisle to prioritize a political fight with the president ahead of the urgent needs of communities across America. And you know, Mitch is right. Trump treated, Trump treated, right. Trump tweeted, "The people of Puerto Rico are great, but the politicians are incompetent or corrupt. Puerto Rico got far more money than Texas and Florida combined, yet their government can't do anything right. The place is a mess. Nothing works." That story really pisses me off. I don't know about you. Next quick item. Although you have not heard it whatsoever, it could have economic effects. NAFTA. You know, the NAFTA replacement that Trump worked hard on and that's been negotiated between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And it's not perfect, but it's far more beneficial to the United States than the old NAFTA agreement. It's called the USMCA. USMCA. And it may not win ratification. Between the Rhino Republicans and the Democrats, they're upset that it doesn't lift aluminum and steel tariffs. And the Trudeau government may not ratify the deal either. So the NAFTA replacement, which has been part of the economic engine, the fact that it was going to be replaced and the fact that the terms were known, that's in trouble. Once again, because of this throw America under the bus so we can get back to power nonsense that's going on with our so-called elected, unquote, representatives. Keep your eyes on that. That's a big economic deal. excuse me. Then we have... Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put several of these segments toward the end because they're really manifestations of what I'm going to tell you about the dark money and the evil, corrupt powers behind these puppets, these alt-left puppets that are now in the Senate and the Congress of the United States calling themselves quote-unquote Democrats. But some of the other things I want to tell you about real quick. Number one, so Joe Biden, I mean, I don't care if he's, you know, squeezes girls' cheeks or whatever. I couldn't care less. What's way more important is that his son Hunter was installed on the board of a Ukrainian company in an industry that Hunter doesn't know squat about while Joe, baby, was vice president with full knowledge of Barry, our friend Obama. And it seems that Hunter flew to board meetings in Ukraine in Joe's Air Force jet at taxpayer expense. But it gets worse. It also seems that there were millions of dollars paid by this company for the directorship to Hunter that flowed across in various nefarious dark channels to the United States accounts of the Bidens. This is a pretty big deal. Or as Joe whispered to Barry the night that Obamacare was shoved down our throat, this is a big effing deal. That's right, Joe. It's a big effing deal. And at the same time, we find out that there is now a court in Ukraine that has literally indicted a number of Ukrainians for interference in the American election in 2016. And we find out that there were direct links between Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC and Ukraine in Ukrainian meddling in the American election. Maybe that's why Hillary's been so quiet, or one of the reasons. That's a big story. And once again, the foo-foo, brouhaha, made-up nonsense over the Mueller report and Barr's summation of the Mueller's report is all designed to cover the real corruption, the real treason, the real collusion. I mean, the more this goes on, the more I am convinced of it. By the way, it is Ukrainians who leaked all of Manafort's stuff prior to the 2016 election in an attempt to help Hillary that eventually resulted in poor Paul Manafort. And I don't mean poor Manafort, he didn't do anything wrong. I'm talking about solitary confinement, really, for an alleged financial crime. Come on. But that's what led the whole Manafort mess. It has to do with his dealings with Ukraine, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and him bringing money back to the United States and doing whatever he did. I don't know what he did. Tax, bank fraud, whatever. Whatever they've thrown at him. That's something to really, really, really watch. Okay. Then we have our friend the Bug-Eyed Babe from the Bronx, as you will see in just a few minutes here when we get into the next segment. The puppet of extreme alt-left, incredibly well-funded sources. She actually stood up and complained about croissants being $7 at New York area airports. In the same breath, she complained about minimum wage not being $15. Now, what's wrong with this picture to anybody with half a living brain cell is, number one, the pay at the New York airports is $19 an hour. That's number one. I mean, very highly paid for that level of worker. And number two, when an employer has to pay somebody more money to work, the employer is either going to make way less profit or have a loss and go out of business unless the employer does what? Oh, that's right, raises the price of croissants to $7. I mean, the lack of knowledge, after I get into this next segment, you're going to understand it, but it's woeful, woeful. Very concerning tidbit here for you. The Connecticut Supreme Court, and you know, Connecticut is like over the edge, folks. That state is crumbling. And its politicians are just gag me. I mean, Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal. I gotta turn off the TV or the radio if I hear his voice. I mean, he just makes me gag. The guy who lied about being in Vietnam. I mean, lied through his teeth about his military service in Vietnam and elsewhere. Just wow. Just scum of the earth, I'll tell you. In any event, the Connecticut Supreme Court, despite federal law, this is a law that was passed by Congress that absolves arms manufacturers. This was a law passed by Congress. It absolves, and this was, I believe, in 1976 or 86, one or the other. But basically, it absolves weapons manufacturers from liability if somebody uses their gun and does something bad, like a mass murder or whatever. You know, ski areas all around the West and the East, they have laws which protect them. I mean, if you fall at Vail, or you fall at Sugar Bush, or you fall at Boyne Mountain in Michigan, or at Squaw in California, you can't sue the ski area. There's a law that says, you know, it's a dangerous sport, and you know what you were doing, and you got hurt, and too bad. There's laws that protect the left's best friends, and that's big tech. Google, Apple, Microsoft, Twitter, all those clowns of the left. All those truly dangerous, dangerous companies that should be broken apart. And that law was passed by Congress 30 years ago. And it basically says it protects them from liability against slander and other types of suits. Because they are communication mediums rather than news or information providers. However, as we all know, they are no longer just communication mediums. They do not allow a free flow of communication. You can have your accounts slapped off of Facebook or Twitter or what have you because, you know, some Soros, as we're going to be talking about, some Soros-funded group considers it hate speech or doesn't align with the political ideology of the higher-ups at those tech companies. And if they didn't have the protection from Congress, they could be sued for it. But they do have the protection from Congress, which, of course, the left does not want to undo now, so they can't. Well, the gun manufacturers are in the same boat. They are protected by federal law. They can't be sued. And the Connecticut Supreme Court said, the hell with federal law. We rule that Remington Arms can, in fact, be sued because one of its weapons was used by this crazed kid who stole the weapon from his mother and then shot his mother and then went to Sandy Hook and shot those poor kids and some teachers. I mean, you remember that? That was a terrible, terrible, outrageous act. Adam Lanza is his name. And they are ruling that the survivors and or parents of kids that were killed can sue Remington for negligence because Remington, I don't even know how they put this together, unbelievable, because Remington, of the way Remington marketed the AR-15 rifle. I mean, really? They didn't market it to Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza stole it from his mother and then killed her with it and then went to the school. Anyway, this is something that's going to go to the Supreme Court. And this is what the left is doing. And they're doing it in concert with the oligarchs, with these other big companies, Delta Airlines, American Airlines, Starbucks. I'm going to have a complete list of them on the website under gun control next week, and we're going to talk about it. Because not one of these companies should get a dime, not a dime, of your business. If they want to bend over and kowtow to the 20% of the population, which is alt-left loony, that's their business. But don't affect my constitutional rights. And then an Obama judge. Yeah, wow. An Obama judge. This is a really big deal for the West, particularly Wyoming and Colorado. He ruled that a whole bunch of oil and gas leases on federal lands, which were already inked, in some cases, energy companies had cut roads in some cases they actually had drills going. He ruled that all those leases were invalid. This is one judge. One judge. He ruled all those leases were invalid, and work had to immediately cease and desist, because adequate consideration was not given by the Forest Service and BLM to the effects of all these new wells on global warming, climate change, CO2 emissions. I mean, this is an Obama judge trying to legislate the new Green Deal from the bench. If nothing else, it will tell you, one of the things it did was to prompt, this is another little tidbit for you, and nobody's talking about this, but Mitch McConnell invoked the nuclear option, first time, to fill district court, United States District Court, and United States Appeals Court seats, which the Democrats have been delaying for 2 years. There's like a backlog of 80 nominees. There's 130 open seats in the federal judiciary. United States District Courts, like this moron who ruled shutting down energy development, or the moron out there in San Francisco who shut down the travel ban, and I can go on and on and on. All Obama judges, with the exception of a couple Clinton judges. And bottom line of this decision is that literally gas and oil development has been halted in Anwar, which was a really big deal that Trump got done. And it has been halted in most of Wyoming, or a lot of Wyoming's public lands, and Colorado's public lands, and elsewhere. Now, obviously, it's getting appealed, but in the end, the Supreme Court's going to hear that. But in the meantime, the United States of America, that's you, me, all our neighbors, we're going to pay a hell of a lot more for fuel. A lot of folks are not going to be working that should be. And we're going to lose a year to our international competitors who laugh at this nonsense and go, hey, this is great. I mean, we don't have to beat the United States. They beat themselves. Next quick item. There is a growing pressure now in concert with this kind of cascade of interest and investigation into the real perpetrators of collusion and treason over the last 2 years. There's a growing interest in the FISA court because it is absolutely crystal clear. The FISA court granted a FISA warrant against Carter Page and renewed it 3 times based on non-evidence. And yes, they were lied to by both representation and omission by Comey and Yates and everybody who signed those and everybody who put them together. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Baker, you name it. But now everybody's getting interested in why the FISA court, when it's been clear that there was a fraud on the court for more than a year now, why aren't they doing anything? How come there's been no contempt of court citations from one of those judges? Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Next bullet point, if you will. There is, George Soros I'm going to cover kind of next week. But there are 450 abortions. And once again, I mean, did you hear this on the news anywhere? I didn't hear it anywhere. I mean, I got it through my back channel sources. But a really big study on abortion just came out. This is unbelievable. 450 abortions are performed by the average Planned Parenthood clinic in a year. Planned Parenthood, in all, does about 320,000 abortions a year, for which they earn blood money at best, for which they earn $147 million. And they have a total budget of $1.2 billion. 50% of that budget, you're going to love this, 50% of that budget is funded by the taxpayers, $550 million a year. And Planned Parenthood uses a significant portion of that $1.2 billion to support alt-left candidates around the country. Now, this will mean something to you when I get to the next segment, because it's all tied in. This spider web that is the alt-left, that is the alt-Islamist left, which are all intertwined, this spider web is all connected, folks. And it's just starting to come to light now, which may be another reason why you have all this nonsense going on over the Mueller report, more distraction. So Planned Parenthood gets $550 million from the U.S. taxpayers and makes $147 million a year on abortions, which would seem to indicate that they're like $400 million short of their $1.2 billion budget, including tens of millions of dollars in political contributions to their favorite alt-left candidates. Ah, where do they get the money? You're about to find out. You're about to find out. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, but it's all tied in. Ocasio-Cortez. Let's just take her. There's a group called the Justice Democrats. I don't know, and you probably have never heard of them. They are the most radical alt-left group maybe in America. And their head cheeses publicly state that their ideals are somewhere between Nazism and communism. Remember, Nazism is a alt-left ideology. They have a plan, and you need to listen to this video. You really need to listen to this video on the website underneath the audio bar. But they have a plan, to sum it up, to elect more and more congressmen to Congress. Those congressmen are completely beholden to the Justice Democrats and funded by them, given all their talking points, you name it. And their plan is to take over first the House and then the Senate and then the presidency, and to unleash, that's the only word I can use, unleash their incredible alt-left, violent, anti-Constitution, anti-American value, and anti-Americans values and control over the country. They promote their agenda with dark, dark money, as you're about to find out. They do all sorts of things. When they choose a candidate, they had an audition. They actually auditioned for congressional candidates prior to the 2018 elections. They had 10,000 applicants for the 24 targeted congressional seats that they wanted to get into the hands of alt-left puppets that they 100% control. 10,000 applicants. And guess two of them that won. Oh, that's right, Tlaib from Michigan and the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. They actually auditioned to run for Congress for seats that literally this group wanted to and now controls. The top aide to AOC, to the bug-eyed babes from the Bronx right now, is the name of Corbin Trent. He is a higher-up in the Justice Democrats. It is he who came up with, in concert with the rest of the Justice Democrat higher-ups, who came up with this redistribution, tax the rich, reparations, blah, 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 stuff that AOC spouts. And by the way, what she spouts is handwritten stuff that is given to her. I'm talking about written talking points that she is given, and she is told to say this. That's why sometimes she appears coherent, whether or not you agree with her. And some other times, if she goes off that script, you know, she appears at best a dingbat. So Corbin Trent helped her with her campaign, basically ran it all together. He scripted everything for her with the input from the higher-ups and the Justice Democrats. He ran the get-out-the-vote deal. He ran all the fundraising for her. He did all the campaign mailers and community organizing, if you will, for her. And he is her handler for the Justice Democrats. He is now her top aide in Congress. A gal by the name of Alexandra Rojas, R-O-J-A-S. She's the head of the Justice Democrats' Green Deal wing, if you were. She's the one who came up with the whole stuff that AOC has been spouting about. This is bigger than World War II. This is our World War II. If we don't win our World War II, the planet's going to end in 12 years. This is the gal who came up with that. Literally. Watch that video on the website. It is scary. 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 She even drafts legislation that AOC submits to Congress. AOC doesn't draft anything. It's all drafted for her by her handlers. By the way, the same group, Justice Democrats, did the same thing with Tlaib up there in Michigan. Remember, she's a radical Muslim, impeach the MF-er, that gal, right? Hates Israel, anti-Semitic, buddies with Farrakhan. And they elected five other congressmen, too, all of whom, to be honest with you, have names I can't even pronounce. In other words, the Justice Democrats, as of the 2018 election, went from zero to controlling seven seats in the House of Representatives. And they exert indirect influence, and in fact kind of indirectly control several seats in the Senate that are the seats of, oh yeah, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, imagine that, to a lesser extent, Bernie Sanders. They are the money behind and the force behind Beto O'Rourke. In other words, all the alt-left screaming meebies you see on your screen or hear on the radio or read about until you can't read anymore, you just want to retch. These are all disciples of or direct descendants of or controlled by the Justice Democrats. There's a guy by the name of Saikat Chabarazi, and I probably mispronounced his name. Saikat, he's a scary dude. He was the campaign manager for AOC. Now, you may have heard something, and I've posted and I've talked a little bit about it, but once again, you know, it's getting drowned out by the rest of the nonsense. He has a severe campaign finance violation going on. Basically, he took $1 million out of the, he raised the money, took $1 million out of the campaign, and put it in LLCs and companies that he controls. Now, what we don't know yet is, did he steal the money? Or is that money getting funneled somewhere else within the alt-left superstructure, shall we say? But Saikat, baby, he's from Harvard. He was like, He was like the top guy, one of the top guys, and the organizational and community organizing genius behind Bernie Sanders' 2016 primary run. We'll come back to him in a moment. There's a guy by the name of Jent Lugar. Jenk, baby, is dangerous. He is a bull in a china shop. He completely stays out of the public limelight. This is the guy who founded the group known as the Young Turks. And he's the mastermind of the whole takeover of the Democratic Party. In other words, what these guys are doing is their first target is to take over the Democratic Party. Their second leg of the plan is to use their takeover of the Democratic Party to gain control of the House and then control the Senate and then get a, heaven forbid, God help us, and get a Justice Democrat elected as president. And I mean, if you watch this video, you can see these people saying it in their own words. I mean, don't listen to me, listen to them. Jenk Lugar has said, quote, "Our goal is to take over the Democratic Party," unquote. Which, by the way, even though their numbers are not large yet, they're having quite an influence in the Democratic Party, are they not? The goal is, quote, "to take over the Dems, then Congress. Our goal is power." Now, how, folks, can it be any more clear when the head of a radical leftist in the shadows group that pulls the puppet strings of their auditioned candidates for Congress, writes their bills for them, basically does everything for it, thinks for them. When they say, quote, "our goal is power," unquote, and they say, quote, "our goal is to replace Congress," unquote, what do you think their goal is? By the way, Omar was not originally sponsored by Justice Democrats, but they did begin to sponsor her after she won her primary in the Minnesota 5th, and I talked about that last week. And Obama is in the mix somehow. That hasn't come out yet. It will. Because remember, Obama is the one who moved, 95,000 Somali refugees and concentrated them in the 5th district in which Omar was elected. Okay. So, then we have what Jenks did. I mean, the guy is kind of brutish, but he's brilliant in a brutish way. Kind of like Mussolini, if you will. He hired all the top guys from Bernie. This is where this Chaprock, whatever his name is, that I was telling you about, this is where he got hired. And because Bernie had a brilliant grassroots campaign. I mean, it was brilliant. And Jenk Baby said, "I want some of that." The main money for the Justice Democrats comes from Soros's Open Borders Group, and Jenks has used his contact with Soros, his contact with the alt-left members of the 2016 Bernie campaign, and his other contacts, and his control of congressmen, to hire kind of the baddest of the bad, brilliant alt-leftists, the really dark, really left, really smart campaign guys in the United States. One is named Zach Exley, E-X-S-L-E-Y, who is a absolute disciple. I mean, he quotes him all the time, refers to him all the time, of Saul Alinsky. Psychat Chapsky, or whatever his name is the most dangerous of these two guys, these two top-tier guys that Jenks hired for the Justice Democrats. To give you an idea of how powerful this group has become in just a few short years, I mean, we're talking about 2 to 3 years is when they really started gearing this up. Never mind Omar and Tlaib and AOC and the other four that they got elected, whose names I can't pronounce. But to give you an idea of how well they've done, they endorsed 70 congressional candidates in 2018. 26 of those won their primaries. Seven of them won seats in Congress. Now that is pretty damn scary. That is incredible progress for an alt-left, anti-American, anti-constitution, pro-globalist, pro-leftist totalitarian control group. And nobody knows about them. Nobody's talking about it. Watch that video on the website. This one guy, it was a great report. This PsyCat dude, he wears T-shirts with Che Guevara on them. And he's a huge backer of a guy by the name of Subhouse Quartz. Subhouse Quartz, and I'm probably pronouncing the name wrong, excuse me, but in historical context, he was like the violent revolutionary in India at the time that Gandhi was putting together kind of the Indian Revolution using peace. This gentleman, who is like the inspiration for PsyCat Baby, this gentleman killed 1.5 million people in the Indian Revolution. He was the Yid to Gandhi's Yang. This, folks, are the people in a nutshell. You can do a lot more research on your own, but these are the people who are behind seven congresspeople in the United States and who basically are the brains, I mean literally like the brains in their head, of those seven folks, including particularly AOC, who got the job as Congress lady by auditioning for the privilege, along with 10,000 other applicants. It's tough to, I know it's hard to believe. This is absolute, this is gospel. By the way, Subhouse Quartz is the one who came up with the line, quote, synthesis, I don't know why I can't talk here this morning, synthesis between Nazism and communism, unquote. That's where Jenk Baby got it. And that's why AOC talks about it all the time, but projects it on Trump or someone else, when she herself is the spawn of it. The living wage stuff that she jumps up and down. All from this group. All from this group. The New Green Deal. All from this group. She didn't draft the New Green Deal. Her staffers didn't draft the New Green Deal. The New Green Deal was drafted by her puppet masters, the Justice Democrats. It's scary. Scary. Let me throw in another little, shall we say, wrinkle, because it's all tied in. George Soros, who put $16 billion of his own money into his Open Societies Foundation, from which it is dispersed out to, grab your hats, 187 outfits that are busy tearing down and dismantling the structure, the values, the Constitution, and the security of the United States. Let me read you some of the... He is really the finance. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, he was the finance behind Omar Tlaib, the other four, and the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. It may have been filtered through many channels, but the dollar originated in his pocket. The guy is absolutely as dangerous as hell. Let me just tell you some of the groups. This, you're going to just gasp that Soros contributes a lion's share of funding to. You will, I'm telling you, your jaw will hit the deal. And I'm not going to, I can't even name all of them. I'd be here for 3 hours. Advancement Project. All of Us or None, which seeks, by the way, to change voting laws and allow ex-inmates, parolees, and current inmates to cast ballots in political elections. These were the guys behind the referendum which gave 1.4 million felons in Florida the right to vote. Huh. The Alliance for Justice. This is the group that's been putting pressure on the Democrats to hold up all the federal judges, which now that Mitch has finally, I mean, what took you, Mitch, invoked the nuclear option, are going to get through anyway. America Votes, which is all about get-out campaigns for Democratic voters. Listen to this. The American Bar Association Commission on Immigration Policy. Wow. The American Civil Liberties Union. We've heard of them. The American Constitution Society for Law and Policy. Gee, these all sound so wonderful, don't they? The American Federation of Teachers. Ladies, you folks out there who have kids, so you're getting taught, your kids are getting taught, no wonder you're getting taught leftist drivel. I mean, Soros is the one behind the whole brilliant plan to take over higher education and lower education and indoctrinate kids at a young age. Remember, Soros is an old Nazi. He was a Nazi collaborator. Listen to my show. He helped Nazi officers go from Jewish house to Jewish house taking their possessions, even though he was a Hungarian-born Jew himself. And he's employing the exact same tactics here. Exact same tactics. The Ballot Initiative Strategy Center. You may have heard of them. The Brookings Institute. Wow. Did you know that Soros finances the Brookings Institute? Catholics for Choice, which is a Catholic organization that supposedly supports women's right to abortion on demand. The Center for American Progress, which I know you've heard of. It was run by John Podesta, who, by the way, was paid $25 million in this whole Ukrainian scheme. Gee, isn't it? It's amazing how it all ties in. The Center for Economic Policy and Research. Common Cause. Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund. You know, all the greeny, the alt-left greeny groups that are suing. For instance, I gave you the example of this Obama judge shutting down all this drilling, calling the leases invalid, improperly. That's an Obama judge. For all I know, you know, he's funded by Soros. Who knows? I mean, when you got $16 billion, you can do a lot of damage. But the lawsuit was brought by Soros' groups, his greeny groups. I mean, anything and everything he can do to hurt the United States and better his own interests, he does. The Democratic Party, that's right, the DNC. I'll read this to you. Soros funding activities are devoted largely to helping the Democratic Party solidify its power base. In a November 2003 interview, Soros stated that defeating President Bush in 2004, quote, is the central focus of my life, unquote, and a, quote, matter of life and death, unquote. He pledged to raise $75 million to defeat Bush and personally donated nearly a third of that amount to anti-Bush organizations. Quote, America under Bush is a danger to the world, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is, unquote. And he has increased those contributions since then, folks. Earth Justice, another one of his lawsuit-happy greeny groups. Oh, the Feminist Majority. Think about that, ladies out there, if you happen to belong to any of these groups. The Free Press Group. This is a so-called media reform organization. But in fact, it works closely with leftists, Media Matters, which is a Soros group, and it's all about pushing out the, Air America Radio, Global Exchange, Code Pink, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the Revolutionary Communist Party, Mother Jones Magazines, and Pacifica Radio. It's kind of the who's who of left media. And then, Healthcare for America Now. Some of you may have heard of them. But this group really supports a single-payer system. You know, Medicare for All. Oh, gee. I wonder where they all got that idea. Immigration Policy Center. This is an open borders group. And it is instrumental in forming the caravans in Central America. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, you've heard something about them over the last few weeks, I believe. Big scandal at the top. They suddenly, it's found out that they have a $500 million war chest. They've parked $250 million of it in offshore accounts. And they are doing kind of the dialogue control for Facebook and other outfits. I mean, it's they who subjectively determine who's spouting hate speech. And trust me, there's no lefties that they're targeting. There's no lefty pages being taken down by Facebook. In fact, George Soros and Bill Gates, they've been exposed as the force behind Facebook's quote-unquote fake news detector, unquote. And they're absolutely the source of funds for the SPLC. J Street, an anti-Israel group. Gee, I wonder why he supported. I wonder why Justice Democrats, financed by Soros, supported Omar and Tlaib. It all kind of ties in, doesn't it? Unfortunately. The League of Women Voters Education Fund. Wow, folks. The League of Women Voters Education Fund. Now, wow. George Soros runs the show. The League of Young Voters. George Soros runs the show. Media Matters. That, of course, you probably knew. That's the outfit that tries to get all the conservative hosts kicked off by boycotting their advertisers. Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Open borders, free college tuition for illegal aliens, lowered educational standards to accommodate Hispanics, voting rights for criminals, blah, 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 blah. Supporters of making English the official language of the United States are motivated by racism and anti-immigrant sentiments. MoveOn.org, of course you've heard of them. The NAACP, wow. Legal Defense and Education Fund. So the NAACP, the supposed civil rights outfit looking out for blacks, is completely funded by George Soros, who wants nothing better than, like all his Democratic dogs that run on his leash. I mean, what they want, folks, basically what they want is they want it all, okay? They want it all. They want your everything. They want your everything. And the NAACP is now, like, full bore behind this reparations. Wow. And all the Democratic candidates and the Justice Democrat actresses and actors, that's what they are, actresses and actors that audition for a role in a play that they don't write, they're all behind reparations. Amazing how that works, isn't it? National Committee for Voting Integrity, gag me. This group opposes the implementation of the proof of citizenship and photo identification requirements for eligible electors in the United States as a means of assuring election integrity. That kind of tells you where they sit, doesn't it? National Council of La Raza, which, by the way, was closely associated with this gal, Alexandra Rojas, who's involved in the Justice Democrats and kind of writes all the bills and writes all the talking points for AOC, for their puppet, the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx to go out and parrot. None of those thoughts are hers. They're all Justice Democrats' thoughts, and they're really George Soros' thoughts, who funds the Justice Democrats in a myriad of ways. The National Lawyers Guild. That I found kind of shocking. The National Council of Women's Organizations. You know, NOW. N-O-W. And National Organization for Women. NOW. Do you have any... Now that you're understanding how this incredibly vile, evil, anti-American web has been spun, you know, Obama's kind of the spider at the center of the web, but the big web is being spun by this huge tarantula, and that's Soros. Soros was a visitor to Obama's White House 88 times. That's like 3 times more than any other visitor over the 8 years of Obama's tenure. I wonder if they talked about grandkids like Lynch and Bill talked about on the tarmac. What do you think? But you can see why Sasar, right, radical Islam, anti-American, anti-Constitution, anti-Israel, why she was one of the keys in the National Organization for Women. National Public Radio, ha. And you think that radio doesn't spin left, huh? I've had numerous discussions with people about this. I gave up listening to NPR, period, like 15, maybe 20 years ago. And I used to listen to them all the time. But it was obvious that they were beginning to tilt and then finally fall left. Natural Resources Defense Council, another greenie fund. The New Israel Fund, which, by the way, is an anti-Israel fund. Gee, Omar and Tlaib. It's amazing how this all fits in. The Peace and Security Funders Group. Quote, this is an association of more than 60 foundations that give money to leftist, anti-war, and environmentalist causes. Its members tend to depict America as the world's chief source of international conflict, environmental construction, and economic waste and oppression. This is quite a guy, isn't he? Quite a guy. Planned Parenthood. Oh, wow. We come full circle on our former little mini segment. Planned Parenthood gets $147 million from abortions. They get XYZ, whatever, from other procedures which are secondary. They get $550 million from you and me, and the difference is made up by George Soros. Gee, I wonder what George thinks about infanticide. Off with their heads, right, George? Off with their heads. You bet. And then we have, listen, I could go on, but I think you get an idea. Oh, Shadow Democratic Party. This is like a really elaborate network. It's all kind of underground and out of the public scrutiny. Nonprofit, activist groups, get out the vote drives, campaign advertising, you name it. Southern Poverty Law Center, we talked about them. All Soros. Think Progress. The Urban Institute. These are the folks who do policies which support Agenda 21 at the United Nations, which basically moves everybody into a cubicle at an assigned job running a bicycle in cities. And you can read about in my book, Land for Love and Money. I have a whole chapter on it. You can listen on the Coast to Coast interview with George Noory. I think it's right up there on the Right Side Radio. Listen to that whole interview when I talk about Agenda 21. And what Agenda 21 is, folks, is really part of and foundational to the Green New Deal. They're linked. And now that you know that Soros is funding both sides of the equation, you understand why. There are no coincidences. None at all. Zero. So you have George Soros funding all this stuff, pulling the strings either directly, like, you know, through Justice Democrats, Tlaib, Omar, AOC, etc., or indirectly, i.e. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, you know, that whole cast of crazies, Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke actually would be more apropos. And we come to find out this week, completely buried, of course, that the House is forming, they're going to be passing legislation to form a commission to, quote, study whether black Americans should receive reparations for slavery. Karen Bass, she's a Democrat from California, of course, and she's the head of the Congressional Black Caucus. The bill is sponsored by Sheila Jackson Lee. She's a Democrat from Texas. And basically this bill allows a commission to be formed to see if reparations should be paid. That's a foregone conclusion. How much they should be, where the money comes from, gee, I wonder where that's going to be, and how it gets distributed. Quote, I don't think there needs to be pressure. We're in charge. Gee, it sounds like AOC. Bass said, it's being discussed. I'm sure we're going to get there. This has been endorsed by Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, which I'm surprised at. She was the only, I thought, sane one of the entire 2020 Democratic slate. O'Rourke says, quote, absolutely, I would sign that bill into law. John Conyers, also a Democrat in Michigan, you know, where Tlaib is from, he's introduced a reparations bill every Congress since 1989. Pretty amazing. Nancy Pelosi now backs this bill. Gerald Nadler, oh yeah, investigatory creep Nadler, is a co-sponsor of the bill. Hey, Mr. Nadler, you don't think you're going to be part of this mess? Quote, we tried to posture this legislation at the highest level of thought and seriousness. There is no humor. There is no request in the bill for a check or a pot of gold, said Jackson Lee. Ha. I do think it has traction. People are not hesitating to openly support it and push for it. I think we have a very good chance of having a hearing at some point. Okay, Benny Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi. He's all for it. Quote, the country owes a lot to the descendants of those Africans, etc., etc., etc. And now, folks, listen carefully to this. Listen really carefully to this. Thompson, comparing the issue to the Japanese internments of World War II, said Congress, decades later, passed legislation offering a formal apology and $20,000 to each of the surviving victims of that campaign. Quote, obviously slavery was a greater internment, and so it's something that has to be looked at absolutely, unquote. The Japanese that survived the internment were the Japanese that were interned. They're the ones who got the $20,000 and an apology. I'm not going to talk about right, wrong, or indifferent. What these people now are talking about is to award current voters, that's a really key word, current voters who are the third or fourth generation descendants of slaves, a pot of money. Now, if they take $20,000 per African American, there are 16 million African Americans. Do the math. If you want to get really scary, do $20,000 plus inflation since 1950, whatever it was, that the Japanese, the survivors of the Japanese internment camps got their 20 grand. I mean, this is diabolical. Remember that rhetorical question I've begun to ask and asked again in this show. What would you do? Way better to think about it now, folks. Way better to think about it now. Bernie Sanders, by the way, is the only one who does not support reparations. But he does think a lot of money has to be funded into, quote-unquote, distressed communities. There's a couple of Democrats who are not pushing for it, including a couple of black Democrats, including Clyburn, been in Congress forever. Clyburn is offering the 10-20-30 plan. Basically, federal programs would have to direct 10% of their funds to communities where at least 20% of the population has lived below the poverty line for at least the last 30 years. By the way, Jackson Lee's bill is called H.R. 40, House Bill 40. And that is because, says Jackson Lee, quote, that's a nod to 40 acres and a mule, the unfulfilled promise that Union leaders made to newly freed slaves in 1865. Unquote. Remember who is funding all the people who are barking for reparations and how those people got into office. This all flows back to Soros and Obama. In New Zealand, if you remember, there was a guy who was not even a citizen of New Zealand who walked into a mosque, killed, I believe, 49 or 50 Muslims in the mosque, wounded a bunch of others, using a semi-automatic rifle. And New Zealand, which does not have a Second Amendment, in other words, it's not a right guaranteed by God that the government must protect, but instead it is a privilege granted by the government, overnight the Prime Minister said, no more quote-unquote assault weapons, basically no more semi-automatic weapons. New Zealand police, folks, are now going door-to-door New Zealand, confiscating any weapon that is no longer allowed. At least one person has died. Former Russian soldier who immigrated to New Zealand refused to give up his guns, barricaded himself in his house. By the way, they found out what they thought he had because of a posting by his son on Facebook with a picture of the weapon kind of, you know, 5 months prior to this whole mess happening. And he committed suicide. Door to door, one by one, picking New Zealanders off with automatic weapons one by one, and not picking them off and killing them, picking them off in terms of confiscating their weapons. I think you want to kind of think about that a little bit. Because a lot of the left, including the Soros-funded, Justice Democrat-controlled Looney Tunes out there, Bug-Eyed Babe from the Bronx, Tlaib, Omar, and many others, they said that what's happening in New Zealand is great and that it shows real leadership. You know what, folks? In the end, there are three things which stand between you, the loss of your freedoms, and the control and wreckage of your American life as you know it. The first is your participation in civic affairs, knowledge, and voting, and organizing other people to vote. The second is your persistence in pounding on the heads, I'm using that figuratively, not literally, of your elected representatives to do what's right and to abide by the will of the people, including stopping immigration, illegal immigration, I mean, on and on and on. The list is endless. And the third, which is why they're so intent and focused on it, is your guns. It's rather difficult for a minority radical fringe to impart their control on a much larger, well-armed population, isn't it? Think about it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk at you next week, and we'll peel back the onion a little bit on this incredibly evil guy, Soros.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.